As a result of computer technology, reference books aren't what they used to be. Many of those big, heavy volumes that would build our biceps are available on discs light enough to pick up with our pinkies. But linguist Jeff Nunberg says it's not time to throw all those books out yet.
I've made this deal with myself about novels the way some people make deals with themselves about cigars or ice cream. English language novels are strictly rationed, but I can read as much as I want in foreign languages, provided I look up all the words I don't know and write them down in a little notebook. Except that when I read Flaubert, I don't have to look up the names of pieces of furniture. Over the years, the notebooks pile up in a drawer where I never open them because it makes me depressed to see how many times I've looked up the same words. But a deal is a deal. The one problem with all this is that a lot of the time I have available these days to read novels is when I'm on trains or airplanes, and it gets a little crowded trying to juggle a novel, a dictionary, a notebook, and the chicken supreme. Then last year, I bought myself a little handheld electronic French-English dictionary called the French Professor. This is one of those gadgets that cries out to be described as handy-dandy. It's got about as many words as a paperback dictionary, and it has a four-line display, which is big enough to give definitions that are more than a word long. And it lets me make my own little personal word list so I can dispense with a pen and notebook as well. It's only a small step for mankind, but over the last year it's kept a fair amount of chicken off my lap. And it's an indication of how thoroughly electronic technologies are changing that most hidebound of books, the dictionary. It's ripe for electronic conversion. After all, this isn't a book most people take to bed with them. There are already several full-size college dictionaries you can put online on your PC or workstation, which make looking for a word a lot quicker and more convenient. And for serious word lovers, there's the Oxford English Dictionary on CD-ROM, easier on the eyes than the small type version, easier on the back than the multi-volume folio set. Soon there will be dictionaries that can vary their definitions according to the interest of the user. And there will be multimedia definitions for words that are hard to define in print. For example, the print dictionary on my desk defines tango as a ballroom dance of Latin American origin in 2/4 time with a basic pattern of step, 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 close. That leaves rather too much to the imagination. The technology is already paying off in dictionary compilation. Dictionary making has always required an enormous amount of menial labor. The first edition of the Oxford English Dictionary took over 60 years to prepare. It was a classic exercise in loopy Victorian excess. Hundreds of volunteer readers combed over the whole of English literature. They recorded the uses of every word on millions of slips of paper that had to be organized and compiled. But now there's enough text in electronic form so that lexicographers can automate the process. The British are putting together a 100-million-word corpus called the Bank of English, and the French have digitized a huge database of the historical records of their language. Systems comb over the corpus, classifying each word according to part of speech and a rough estimate of its meaning. For the time being, we still need human lexicographers to weed out the results, but people have already begun to talk about the prospect of a self-maintaining dictionary which monitors the language as it passes over the net and automatically records new words and new meanings. And yet, the old print dictionary still has its uses, even in the electronic age. A while ago, I got into an argument with a colleague who kept insisting that there was a word restrainment. I showed him that it wasn't in the electronic dictionary in my computer, but he wasn't convinced. How many words are in that thing, anyway? So I held up the big print dictionary that was sitting next to my workstation. I said, look, the dictionary on the computer is the same as this. And then he said, oh, well, in that case, I guess it isn't a word. And then I set the dictionary back down on the desk with a resounding, very physical thump.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.